If a man works hard, the land will not be lazy. And then, most telling of all, no one who can rise before dawn 360 days fails to make his family rich. Rise before dawn 360 days a year? For the Kung, leisurely gathering mungongo nuts, or the French peasant sleeping away the winter, or anyone else living in something other than the world of rice cultivation, that proverb would be unthinkable. This is not, of course, an unfamiliar observation about Asian culture. Go to a college campus, and students will say that the Asian students are overwhelmingly the ones studying at the library, long after everyone else has left. Some people of Asian background, understandably, get offended when people talk about their culture this way, because they sense that the stereotype is being used as a form of disparagement. But a belief in work is in fact a thing of beauty. Virtually every success story we've seen in this book so far involves someone or some group working harder than their peers. Bill Gates was addicted to his work screen as a child. So was Bill Joy. The Beatles put in thousands of hours of practice in Hamburg. Joe Flom ground away for years perfecting the art of takeovers before he got his chance. Working really hard is what successful people do. And the genius of the culture formed in the rice paddies is that hard work gave those in the fields a way to find meaning in the midst of great hardship and poverty. That lesson has served Asians well in many endeavors, but rarely so perfectly as in the case of mathematics. A few years ago, Alan Schoenfeld, a math professor at Berkeley, made a videotape of a woman named Renee as she was trying to solve a math problem. Renee was in her mid-20s, with long black hair and round glasses. In the tape, she's playing with a software program designed to teach algebra. On the screen is an X and a Y axis. The program asks you to punch in a set of coordinates, and then it draws a line for you on the screen. At this point, I'm sure some vague memory of your middle school algebra is coming back to you. But rest assured, you don't need to remember any of it to understand the significance of Renee's example. In fact, as you listen to Renee talking, don't focus on what she's saying, but rather on why and how she's talking the way she is. The point of the computer program, which Schoenfeld had created, was to teach students about how to calculate the slope of a line. Slope, as I'm sure you remember, or more accurately, as I'll bet you don't remember, I certainly didn't, is rise over run. So if you typed in 5 on the y-axis and 5 on the x-axis, the slope would be 1, 5 over 5. So there is Renee. She's sitting at the keyboard, and she's trying to figure out what numbers to enter in order to get the computer to draw a line that is absolutely vertical, that is directly superimposed over the y-axis. Now, those of you who remember your high school math will know that this is, in fact, impossible. A vertical line has an undefined slope. Its rise is infinite, any number on the y-axis, starting at 0 and going on forever. Its run on the x-axis, meanwhile, is 0. Infinity divided by 0 is not a number. But Renee doesn't realize that what she's trying to do can't be done. She is, rather, in the grip of what Schoenfeld calls a glorious misconception. And the reason why Schoenfeld likes to show this particular tape is that it is a perfect demonstration of how Renee came to resolve this misconception.